call me sentimental, but to me, the most joyful moment in sports is the soccer goal. And when that goal happens at the World Cup, well, it's pretty good. I'm Brian Phillips. With the 2022 Men's World Cup approaching, I'm making a podcast called 22 Goals on the Ringer Podcast Network. It's about 22 of the most fire emoji goals in the history of the tournament. We're going to have so much fun.
It's New York, New York, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. It is a surprise, surprise, surprise Wednesday into early Thursday edition of New York, New York. And I felt compelled and obligated to get on the mic, even though we have a Football Friday show coming up in like 24 hours, for a couple of different reasons. A lot transpired in the last 24 hours. A lot from a New York baseball standpoint. And the first thing we have to do is salute number 99, Mr. All Rise himself, Aaron Judge, on tying Roger Maris's record. Hallelujah. Thank heavens. We've been waiting a week to see it. I know there were some folks wondering, oh, are they going to finally pitch to him? Are they finally going to give him an opportunity? He ties the record in Toronto. Aaron Judge's mom and the Maris family to have the great embrace. And look, I wasn't clearly on this earth. I wasn't even a thought. My dad was basically 7 years old when Roger Maris broke Babe Ruth's record in 1961. So I saw Billy Crystal's movie. It's awesome. It rocked. I would have loved to have lived it. I didn't. What I can tell you is this, and I consider myself, you know, I'm a young guy. I think anybody who listens to this podcast knows I'm a young guy. I'm 34 years old. But if you don't think I'm a historian of a sport, you're a damn fool because I live this shit. I love this stuff. I can't get enough of it. Baseball history and baseball records, there are certain numbers that just have cachet. There are certain numbers that just mean more. Roger Maris, 61 in 61 in a Yankee uniform, is one of those special numbers. Aaron Judge now tying Roger Maris. I don't think this is hyperbole. I don't think this is exaggeration. It is hands down the greatest Yankee season I've seen in my lifetime. Find me one from an individual in my years of watching the team. Okay, I didn't see Ruth. I didn't see Maris. I didn't see Mickey Mantle's Triple Crown. For me, 34 years on this earth, there was not a better Yankee season. Go and try and find me one. I'll take it a step further. In my years on this earth, there has not been a better individual New York sports season than what Aaron Judge has put together. Find me the guy. Remember, I didn't get Lawrence Taylor. I didn't see Guidry and Gooden. From my time of watching New York sports, which is really 1993, 1994 on, Nobody comes close. That's how special this year has been. It's been fun to watch. There will be more conversations about what you're going to pay Aaron Judge. Yeah, you want to see him pay it off in the postseason, of course. We'll see how many opportunities he actually gets to hit. But this was the ultimate bet on yourself type of year. And to go and tie Roger Maris, to be hands down, clear cut, no questions asked, the American League MVP, to be on the verge of potentially winning a triple crown. Think about that for a minute. Aaron Judge is on the verge of winning a triple crown and breaking Roger Maris' home run record. That's rarefied air. Whatever he wants in the offseason. Like, there are certain guys that need to be Yankees forever. Aaron Judge is one of those guys that's got to be Yankee forever. And I think the Yankees know that. I think they're well aware of that, considering what they will get at the gate and what they have gotten at the gate as he's gone through this whole home run chase. Certain guys just mean more to your franchise than others. So that was cool to see. Glad he finds a way to finally get it over with. Hit 62, and then boom, we could focus on the final week of the year for the Yankees just being, all right, get guys tuned up. We'll see you at the Bodega for game one, and away we go. Now, history is out of the way somewhat. We'll be at Billy's, by the way, on Friday. I hope to see you all out there. We'll have a time, probably going to be in the late afternoon. So if you want to come down for the Spotify Live, I'd love to meet a bunch of you. Drinks on me. I'll probably be in a cheery, spiritual, festive type of mood because we ain't working on Friday night. So I'd love to take care of you guys. Come by Billy's Spotify Live. You're going to Yankees Orioles on Friday night. But the bigger win for the New York baseball teams, it's not even close. What a monstrous, monstrous, monstrous turn of events for the New York Mets. This game, after what happened last night, Carrasco getting absolutely lit. The Met offense outside of Alonso doing absolutely nothing. Failing with multiple opportunities. Silenced against the Miami Marlins. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at the scoreboard today, and it's 4-0 Marlins. Buck probably sticks with Taijuan Walker a little bit too soon. The Met lineup doing absolutely jack you know what against Lizardo. And the Mets, down 4-0, find a way to come back and win this game. And let's call it what it is. The hero of this game, without a doubt, and I knew it. And I'm glad my guy Braziller over at the New York Post, who hated Eduardo Escobar for the entire first half of the year. You know how many texts I got from him and all the other Mets fans? This guy's a stiff. He sucks. Bah, bah, bah. I told you guys, he'd get some big hits. I said that when we were at the Subway Series and he had the big home run against Montgomery. The guy is a veteran player. He wasn't going to be fazed by the moment. This game today, Mets are dead. They are deader than dead. Boom, hits the two-run homer. Eighth inning, where the Mets had some awful at-bats. Lindor, and I don't want to hear about what he did in the Milwaukee game. You know how dumb it was? Walk, pitching for the Marlins, can't throw a strike. And you're swinging at the first pitch? That is awful. McNeil, not much better. Two outs, runners on. I'm like, geez, they're not going to score here. Escobar comes through. Then in the extra innings, Donnie Mattingly, last couple games he's managing, walking McNeil. Stupid. Escobar, since September 1st, has been on fire. Could argue he's been as good as any Met hitter. He single-handedly won the Mets the game today. Won them the game. And it's a huge swing. Every game is so important. That's what we talked about. If you called me on SNY yesterday, I had some Mets fans giving me shit for this. Killing the team. It's like, yeah, they deserve to be killed. That effort yesterday stunk. It's not a June or July game. It's September against bad baseball teams. But as bad as that was, that's how good this one was. Because they win in dramatic fashion, and the Mets get a break because the Braves lose. They lose to a bad national team. Now you're a game up going into Atlanta. The difference between being a game up and being even is insanely, catastrophically different. You win one game, you're still in the driver's seat with the tiebreaker. If you were even, and you lose two out of three, you're down one. and heaven forbid you're losing, down a game. Takes a little bit of the pressure off. A little bit. Not all of it. A little bit. Didn't love the mid at bats today. Thought the approach from some of the guys was puzzling. But they needed this win. Could make the argument this is the biggest win of the season. Down 4-0 in this game. I know the Marlins stink. The Mets had to have it. And it wasn't pretty. And it made you sweat. But the much maligned Eduardo Escobar is now the beloved Eduardo Escobar. Can all turn a New York minute? That's how it goes around here. So there was a lot to digest from all the baseball. And one more note, and we're going to have the Giant quarterback. How about that? We got all this going on, and Daniel Jones is going to join us. I have no feeling on Gerrit Cole's start tonight. I totally forgot to mention this. I didn't want him to throw a perfect game because if he throws a perfect game, it's, hey, he's got to do it in October. And then when he gives up running the sixth inning, it's like, oh, he can't pitch. Cole has had a disappointing regular season. And it's disappointing, especially because of what happened last year in Boston in the wildcard game. Where's he going to be judged? Game one against that 3-6 winner, okay? So, New York sports fans, fired up. Big weekend for the Mets and the Braves. Billy's show, Yankees clinched the AL East. Give him credit for that. Not a whole lot of people had the Yankees winning the division at the beginning of the year. Sounds crazy because they had this record-setting pace for 3 months. It felt like a foregone conclusion all year. They were going to win the division. They had that awful month of August where it was very much in doubt. But you get the result you desired, and now you grade this team and judge them in the month of October. So we know both teams are going. Yankees, the division champ. We'll see if the Mets follow suit this weekend. We'll have all our football stuff in full detail tomorrow, but we do have a pretty big football guest who we welcome in each and every week. He's coming off his first loss. Played well. Teammates had his back. Colin Cowherd, one of the dumbest comments about a football game I've ever heard imaginable after the Monday night game. I don't know why I keep giving him attention. I just thought his tweet, which I saw the other day, was so mind-numbingly stupid that it just needs to be stressed over and over again. So we might ask Daniel Jones about that. Get his thoughts. The quarterback of the New York Football Giants joins us next.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app. This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
So we're getting ready for week four. Giants are 2-1. They have their first loss of the year. Hard fought, close game, close but no cigar effort against the Dallas Cowboys. We welcome in for our weekly chat the quarterback of the New York Football Giants, Daniel Jones. What's up, Daniel? How are you, bud?
Doing good. How you doing, JJ?
Daniel, we're doing all right. First things first here. So I'm at the game Monday night, and you know, you get an opportunity to see you guys up close in person. And I'm saying, man, my dude is taking a beating in this game. My dude is absolutely taking hit after hit after hit. So I got to start here. How are you feeling? Is the body, is the mind, the spirit all right? I mean, thank God I don't play football, Daniel. That's what I was saying. Like, I played as a kid. I'm walking around. I see, like, Micah Parsons and Lawrence and these dudes. That's not fun taking those hits, man. So how are you hanging in?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it was a physical game. You know, we expected that going in, and a lot of credit to them, their defense, their pass rush. Those guys you mentioned, they're big, big, strong, fast guys. So, it was a physical game, but I'm feeling good and, ready to get back at it this week.
So pass protection was a problem in this game. There's no doubt. But if there was one thing that your offense did a fantastic job in doing, Daniel, it was you. And you making plays with your legs. I think for anybody who had Daniel Jones on their fantasy team, they see 75, 80 yards of rushing. They love seeing that. Did the breakdowns in pass protection and the fact that the Cowboys have so many ferocious pass rushers, did that kind of force you into far more of like a scramble mode type of game? Or was that something that you and Coach Dable kind of stressed going in, hey, I want to make more plays with my legs?
I think it was kind of a feel as we got into the game and seeing opportunities to do that throughout it. And like I said, you got to give credit to them and their pass rush. But I don't think that was as much of a thought going into the game. I think it was just kind of how it played out. We'll continue to look for those opportunities.
So you guys had a couple opportunities to make some big plays. You had that terrible offensive pass interference call. I mean, I don't know what they were looking at there. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. And let's be honest, that was a game changer at the end of the first half. You throw that in, you throw in a couple of drops, and those big plays outside of the Saquon touchdown run and a couple of your scampers, they're nowhere to be found. So for you, you're in the huddle, you're leading your team, you're trying to move down the field. How frustrating is that when you have big plays that look like they're going to be game changers in the game, and then all of a sudden, Daniel, they're taken off the board?
That's tough, but, teams deal with that. A lot of teams deal with it. We got to find a way to, respond to those situations and still be able to create more opportunities for ourselves, to make those plays. But, when we got into a little bit of a rhythm, we hurt ourselves with some of those penalties, some of those, errors that we can, prevent and, things we can control. So, we'll definitely look to clean that up going forward.
You know, Daniel, I was thinking about this. Saquon's run was electrifying, dude. I mean, that was beast mode right there. You guys take the lead. MetLife Stadium is rocking, man. It was rocking. The whiteout. You guys got those beautiful color rush jerseys on. In your time as Giant quarterback, was that the loudest you had heard MetLife Stadium, the Monday night game against Dallas?
I think it was for sure. Yeah, for sure. I think pregame, you kind of feel it as, everyone was coming in and you could feel the energy and the buzz. I think, opening kickoff, everyone was up and rocking. But yeah, I think it most definitely was the loudest I've been there for. And we enjoy that. We appreciate the support.
So after the game, Daniel, I thought it was very telling. Your teammates really had your back. One of your offensive linemen, Feliciano, was like, this dude put his balls off. He's trying to make things happen. We got to be better around him. You hear a comment like that, it's coming from one of the dudes that's trying to keep you upright. Is that, and look, you're trying to win a game. I understand that. There's no moral victories. There's no silver linings. I get it. You either win or lose. That's life in the NFL. But it's got to be nice knowing a new lineman. He's new to the team. He's played on winning teams with Buffalo. For him to come out and kind of have your back like that, that's got to feel awfully nice, right?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, playing hard, playing tough, and that's certainly the expectation for all of us, you know, every time we go out there. So I think we got a group that has really embraced that mindset, who you know, plays that way from the first kick to the last kick. You know, I think obviously there's some things we could have done better, but I thought throughout the whole game we played tough and we fought hard, we battled. And I was proud of that. So we got to clean up some things, but yeah, we got guys who want to fight. We got guys who want to play hard, and that's a fun thing to be a part of.
You just mentioned things that you feel the offense has got to do a better job of. What, in your opinion, is the biggest thing you guys got to clean up and get better at?
I think it's just, you know, hurting ourselves at some point in drives, whether it's a negative play or a penalty or just a missed opportunity here or there that stalls us out. I think, you know, we felt like we moved the ball fairly consistently, but, you know, weren't able to finish off those drives. You know, and it was something that, you know, that we did that stopped us from doing that. So we've got to do a better job there, and I'm confident we will.
So I'm doing a show, Daniel, from the press box right after the game, and it's a tough loss. I'm dealing with a bunch of Giant fans. You know, we're going over the ins and outs of the game, and you know me, I'm a lunatic. I spend way too much time on social media. My fiance is probably going to take my cell phone away from me at some point because I spend way too much time on that. And fantasy and gamble. Yeah, I know, man. I know. Well, the good news is somebody like you can tune it out. Me, it's kind of part of the job and, you know, it's a part of the deal. So, like, it's a way to build the brand, if you will. But I saw this, dude, and this really pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was ranting and raving about it, and I was furious about it because I'm watching the game, and many Giant fans watch the game, and I see this knucklehead Colin Cowherd basically saying, oh, the limitation, the reason the Giants lost the game is Daniel Jones. And I'm like, hold on a second now. You're going to tell me the quarterback is responsible for the Giants losing that game? Nonsense. Now, look, everybody could have done a better job. I understand that. But when you hear stuff like that, is it for you immediate, hey, I'm blocking out the noise. I'm not paying attention to this stuff. I'm focusing on what I need to do. Like, if I heard something like that, look, I know there's some things that you would like to clean up and get better. But, like, I don't know how anybody could watch that game and say, yeah, the main reason the Giants lost that game is because of the quarterback. You know what I mean? It's not like you threw four or five interceptions and you ended up losing the game. So that bothered me. I just had to get that off my chest. Just saying.
Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate that. But, yeah, I mean, it's you try to block it out. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And it's, you know, you got to deal with it. And playing quarterback, people say you get more credit you deserve when you win and too much blame when you lose. I don't know how true that is in every situation, but that's part of the job is you're going to be, you know, people are going to look to you. So I get it and just take it and move on. Luckily, I got coaches and teammates and people who, you know, give me some feedback and criticism that I think is more constructive than that.
I like the sound of that. And for you guys now specifically against the Chicago Bears, what's being stressed more this week? The fast starts, which we have not seen. You guys, for whatever the reason, Daniel, have looked better offensively in each of these three games in the second half. Is that more of a point of emphasis? Or is it the idea of, hey, we need more big plays? And look, big plays, easier said than done. If you're not going to have them, you're not going to force the ball 60 and 70 yards down the field if it's not there. But what would you say is like a bigger point of emphasis from Coach Dable and for you guys as an offense? Fast starts or big plays?
I think the fast starts is certainly something that we're focused on and you know, coming out of the gates, you know, playing well and executing. I think it's, you know, pretty simple. It comes down to executing and finishing off drives in the end zone. So that's been a big emphasis of ours. It'll continue to certainly be this week, and we'll stress it in practice for sure.
If you guys are going to have, though, more big plays within this offense, listen, obviously, the protection's got to be there. There's got to be separation. You have to deliver the throw. Like, we know, like, the nuances and the equation of a successful NFL play, but what is it specifically that has been lacking maybe? Like the Shepherd play week one, amazing. Big play, you hit the throw. You love seeing that. How do you get more big plays within the Giant offense right now? Maybe that's a dumb question. I don't know, but I know it's something that Giant fans are looking for, Daniel. They want to see those big plays.
Yeah, I mean, I think we certainly want them too. There's no doubt about it. We're trying to find ways to create them and make them happen. But, you know, I think it's not just cliche. I think it's true. You know, it's about execution and doing your job. I think, you know, you watch other games, you watch teams around the league. It doesn't always have to be a, you know, 60-yard bomb. It can be a well-executed play where you get a guy in space and he makes a guy miss. And then, you have your explosive, catch and run. So I think, creating those opportunities and everybody doing their job consistently so that you're ready when, that opportunity comes.
So you won the first two games of the year. You guys lose on Monday night. As far as like the routine, and I'm a superstitious guy, Daniel. So like for me, my football team hasn't lost a game. So that's why I have this beard going. I don't care how patchy it gets. I don't care if I look like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm a lunatic like that. Like, if I play good golf, I'm wearing the same outfit. I'll wash it. I don't care. Do you change any routines now that you guys have lost a game? I don't know if you're superstitious or whatnot, but like anything changed for you win compared to a loss?
I don't know. Not really. Hadn't been. We got a little group that's been going to dinner on Friday nights. So maybe we'll switch up the spot, switch up the restaurant.
I like that. Listen, it worked. I like the sound of that. It worked the first 2 weeks. Doesn't work out against Dallas. Boom, it ends up working out week four against the Bears. The only problem is, what do you do if you guys win this week, DJ? And then you got a London game coming up. You guys are out now.
These are things I haven't thought about. Thanks for...
See, I love that I'm already thinking about the fact that you're going to win this week. That's how confident I am, but that's... like I said, you need a hype man for the locker room pregame speech. I'm your guy.
All right.
I mean, I think a lot of the guys in the locker room be like, get this skinny ass out of here, but that's okay. I mean, I'm used to that. I'm used to criticism. That's the world I live in, Daniel. That's the world I live in. So, okay. Now, as you guys get ready for the Chicago Bears, it's a short week. Is that a tough adjustment for you where you played Monday night? You're not going through the normal routine like you normally would. The game's Sunday at 1:00. You're not playing another Monday night game under the lights. Is that a tough adjustment, or because of the fact that you and the team have played plenty of primetime games over the years, that's just kind of par for the course in the NFL?
It is somewhat of an adjustment. You got to move on. Obviously, it was a hard fought game for us, a disappointing game. But we talk about win or lose, you got to be able to flush it and move on. And with a short week, that's especially important. So we've done that. We had a good day today, I feel like, and preparing for Chicago, and guys' minds are in the right spot and ready to go. So that's part of playing in the NFL. You get a new opportunity every week. So we'll be ready for it.
So I was thinking about this at the game on Monday. I see Jerry Jones right after the game. You wouldn't like this because it was after the Cowboys won. He's got the cigar in his mouth. He's got the bourbon. He was, he was in his glory. I see Jimmy Kimmel. Like, all the big stars were out for the Giants and the Cowboys. Now, when you're playing a game, whether you were a Duke or whether you were with the Giants, I get it, man. You got to focus on the next play, what your coaches are telling you, what your teammates are telling you. But was there ever a moment you're playing a game and you find out somebody's there pregame, or you find out somebody's there, well before the game in the stands and whatnot, where you're like, shit, man, I'm a little starstruck right now. Was there ever like a big celeb or, supermodel, whatever the case, where it kind of perked you up a little bit?
Not really. I really didn't know those guys were there. People were talking about it today in the locker room. I think, Lil Uzi was there. And Kimmel, yeah. So that was cool. Just, you talk about the atmosphere on Monday night and how pumped up the fans were. And I think that. And then, you got some guys like that in the house. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool atmosphere.
Well, when Joe Montana was in the Super Bowl, he saw the late John Candy on the sideline. And that was like the break the ice moment. Right before he had that iconic 2-minute drive, Daniel, he's like, it's John Candy. And everybody's like, yeah, man, we're ready. So like in London, so like a week from now, when you guys are playing a London game, if like Rihanna or somebody's on the sideline, you know, everybody's tense and everybody's like all stressed out. You got to be like, got to channel your inner Joe Montana, DJ. Think of me. You'd be like, hey, there's Rihanna. Let's go, guys. We're going to score a touchdown now. We got to do it for Rihanna.
Is Rihanna a big, is she in London a lot? Or?
Well, I was just, you want to know why I threw out there? Because she's performing the halftime of the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's a lot. Dude, when you're playing a London game, that's you're going to get some big stars going out for that game.
Yeah, I've never been to London. I'm excited.
Are you guys going like right after the game on Sunday? Is that the move, basically?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think at some point later in the week, but
that'll be an. I can tell you that will be an adjustment. That will be an adjustment because I didn't play a football game, so I'm drinking way too many beers and watching Jay Cutler throw four interceptions when the Saints shut out the Dolphins. So I would hope, Daniel, for your sake, you're going to have a much better game than that. And I can tell you from my London football experience, the bar is very low and I fully expect you to exceed that. But any, like the guys, you seem to be excited for the London trip.
Yeah, I think the guys are excited. You know, I think we're focused on Chicago right now. And that's what, you know, everyone's talking about. That's where everyone says that right now. But I think guys will be excited next week for sure.
I like the sound of that. And final one, you're getting ready for the Chicago Bears. This is a team that's off to a surprising 2-1 start. You guys, it's kind of like the battle of 2-1s, two teams that were not in the playoffs last year, two teams that had played well in the month of September. You guys are going to get to 3-1, and you guys are going to have a very happy plane ride across the pond to London, maybe cranking some Beatles. I don't know, whatever the British invasion music. That it, by the way, is that like a big thing in the locker room? If you guys win, are you guys cranking music? I would hope so, right?
Yeah, you know, Dave was dancing after the game in Tennessee, so you saw that.
I did. Well, I was wondering, like, who gets say with the music after a win? Like, is it like, hey, you're one of the captains, I'm putting on what I want to hear? Or is it like whoever ended up having, like, the biggest game or gets, like, a game ball or whatnot? That's a big question there.
Yeah, I don't think guys want to hear, you know, Kings of Leon and my type of
stuff. Wow, so you're already like, nah, I don't want in on the music. See, that's the difference between me and you, DJ. If it were me, like when I'm playing golf, I'm like, no, we're picking my playlist. That's it. We're picking my playlist. You don't like the music, too bad.
What would you be playing after a win?
Oh, man, I could do anything. I could do a little Drake. I could do a little Fleetwood Mac, Stones, whatever. It depends on what my mood is before the game. You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm stoked before the game and I'm in a, you know, classic rock mood, I do that. If I'm in a hip hop mood, I do that. Like I don't know, man. You got to get me on. It depends on my mood.
All right. That's fair.
But if you're getting ready for the Bears, biggest key if you guys are going to get to 3-1 on Sunday.
Yeah, I think they're a good defense. You know, they make plays in the back end with their secondary and, you know, some smart players back there. So I think taking care of the ball, you know, be a big part of this week. And then, you know, finishing the end zone, finishing our drives, scoring touchdowns when we get those opportunities in the red zone.
Daniel Jones, the quarterback of the 2-1 New York Giants. And one quick thing, Daniel, and I hate ending on a sour note. That Sterling Shepard injury made me sick the other day. How's he doing? Is he doing all right?
Yeah, I think he's doing all right. Yeah, it's hard to see, heartbreaking as a teammate, as a friend. And, you know, he's battled through so much to get back on the field this year. So hate it for him and really feel for him. Sure.
We wish him nothing but the best. Go get him on Sunday. Kick some ass. I hope we're talking about the 3-1 New York Giants next week. All right.
Awesome. Thank you, JJ.
There you have it. That's the quarterback, Daniel Jones, of the New York Football Giants. So that's our abbreviated show. Good stuff from the Giant quarterback. Big weekend of baseball coming up. Football Friday show with Beningo tomorrow. Two things. Voicemails. Didn't take any. We want to do a quick pod here. Tomorrow I'll take a few. 917-382-1151. Gauntlet, Judge, the Met Braves series, the football, Daniel Jones. It's all on the table. That's number one. Number two, we'll see you at Billy's on Friday night. You coming to Yankee Stadium to see history? And I'm going to have like the Met game going on the phone. I mean, good thing I have good seats. That's all I'm going to say. Good thing I have good seats because that's going to be a total shit show every which way. So voicemails tomorrow. Football Friday with Joe Art and Cats tomorrow and Billy's Friday. That's it. abbreviated show. Hope you enjoyed it. JJ out. Gore, Stefan. Be good, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.